show. Yes, we're here to discuss.
Really? What? Is it really?
What? Well, yeah, kind of. I don't know what's happened. We should have a shitload of people here, but they've all gone completely silent. So Tom Merritt was supposed to be here, and Chris Breen was supposed to be here, and Adam was supposed to be here, and they aren't. So maybe someone will join us. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. And I don't think anyone's retweeted saying that they're coming and I've got it wrong. So we'll just start off with me and Carl, and we'll add as we go. We might have to cut. I might have to edit. There'll be a thing. The Week in Apple. Joining me is Kyle Swagger. Ace.
Hello.
Ace.
Hello.
Ace. Presenter, host, mate, of the Daily Show, or the news show. How's it going, mate?
It's going great. It's going really well. I'm really happy. I'm really, really happy about the new show has taken off. I'm glad everybody's enjoying it. It makes it more fun to get up in the morning and do it when everybody I know is out there enjoying it. So.
Well, I don't know if you've seen all of these, because they're maybe not from all of the countries that you maybe have access to. But here we go. There's a few little ones here. This from Glossy Matt. Welcome back. You've been missed. New show and photo show back within days. The British Tech Network really deliver. Disappointed Ombre from Canada says, is all you've seen, then this is, if this is all you have, then this is the tech show for you. Carl Swagger has the vocal chops to make this an enjoyable and informal 5 minutes. Quickly keeps you up to the daily news happenings in the world of tech. Andrew Antonio says, Kyle, I salute you, sir. As the kids would like to say these days, it's epic. The length is just right. Chris Campion, I've been a listener for over 4 years, since the Bagel Tech days, and listen, watch most of the shows. Mac and Big are must-listens on a weekly basis. Watch live if you possibly can, as they as the live stability is significantly improved. Well, I don't know so much about that last night. The Daily Show, the new show, however, has been missed for over the last 2 years. But let's all remember that you and many of the other guests do this through the love of it. They're not paid for putting these excellent shows together every week. Carl has come to the rescue and brought a great show back. Published daily at around 5 a.m. GMT, so perfectly timed for the UK listeners' morning commute, morning motion, or morning cuppa. Meaning it's even more valuable out of my Patreon donation. Thanks, you and Kyle and the other BTN guests. Keep up the great work. Nibs, Kyle is doing a fabulous job of bringing us Brits a small dose of tech news, all delivered in time for breakfast. Sterling work, Kyle. Keep it up. And Anders, fantastic return of the news show. A great little data blast of tech of the last 24 hours presented by the venerable Kyle Swagger. Just the right amount of details to keep you up to date, with a nice side of funny as well. Top marks.
Good deal.
Well done, mate.
That's nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, it's nice to get those things. It really is. You know, it makes you feel like, okay, maybe you're doing something right. And if they're enjoying it, I'm enjoying it. So that's what matters.
I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week, though, mate. I mean, I know how long it takes to do that show, and that is not a slight and easy task. It is very hard to get all the time in, to get all of the stories together. To then, I mean, someone said, who writes the scripts this week? There isn't time to write a script.
That's true, there isn't.
You read down the page and you just pick something out, and occasionally you get it wholly wrong. So.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much what it is. You sort of make it up as you go along. You have your foundations of stories, and then you just, I just wing it. It just comes from the brain and comes out the mouth, really.
So. Yeah. That's what talking is. The Week in Apple. Well, today is the launch of the Tesco Huddle, and here's my local store. Look, loads of people queuing up to get their Tesco Huddle, only to find out they haven't made any yet. There's none there. serious competition for Apple. They were queued round the block, they were. I'm telling you.
That's a lovely Photoshop job there.
Thanks, mate. That's the worst piece of Photoshop I've ever done in my life, deliberately. And loads of people were writing going, you're joking. Did people not know it wasn't available today? Nope.
Are you going to get one?
I want to get one and try. They're £129. The spec's supposed to be good. They're 16 gigs, so they've doubled the memory, because I think the original was 8 gig. But I don't know. I've got it in my head that the original, you could put a SIM card in, or not a SIM card, a data card in. But for $129, you give it a try. And the other thing is, as well, you can get it in shocking pink. So as soon as I get it, I'll have a play with it, and then I'll give it to Bryony, and Bryony will love it. So, because it's pink,
and because it's running what? What does it run on? Android, I guess.
Yeah, it's Android, but it's Tesco have got their own services in there. So the Blinkbox service is in there for movie rentals and purchases, which is a Tesco thing entirely. So,
see, that's what's funny about that. I did see that this is completely off Apple news. Sorry, people. But I did see that they're thinking about retiring that service this week.
Blinkbox service. The videos and that kind of stuff are going to remain. It's just the Tesco club card Blinkbox thing, Blinkbox TV.
Oh, okay.
I think the movie purchases and that kind of stuff that's Blinkbox is going to stay. It's just Blinkbox TV that's disappearing. So that's interesting. Very interesting. Mm. Is it going to take away from the launch of iPad 2? I don't think so.
No.
They'll actually have the
iPad 2 in stock.
They might.
They'll actually have that.
The week in Apple. We've got a bit of an exclusive, really, to start us off, because this month now, 21st, there's going to be an Apple event. It's almost certain. If you want to go to the LMUG version of that, it'll be down at Tiger again. It's already booked. The room is already there. We're all ready to set up and get going, potentially. But one of the things that we found out from our contacts at Apple is that the iPad 2 will be launched there, and also the iPad Pro. So this is the 13-inch version of the tablet.
Yeah,
which is
12.9, I guess, is still what we're hearing about with this thing, yeah.
Yeah.
12.9, yeah.
I mean, they obviously feel that's going to sell.
Apparently so. I don't know what market they're trying to actually hit here. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to go along the lines of, you got the, you know, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro. They're trying to do that kind of thing. But supposedly, from what I've heard, is that this thing is supposed to be like the watch. It's not going to be available that day. In fact, it's going to be available. I have a feeling it's probably going to be coming about the same time as the watch. So, hence why we haven't seen any leaked materials for the thing yet, just like the watch. So it's going to be the another one more thing, and hopefully no U2 this time.
Yeah, you're going to get a free, from what I heard, you're going to get a free Barney album next one.
Barney, Tim loves you.
Barney sings
he loves
the blues.
Me.
Barney sings the blues. That's a classic album. No, I mean, I don't know. Would you buy one? Let's just say costume material, you know, just working in the way that your life works with commutes and that kind of stuff. Would you think that a 12.9 would fit in with you? Because I don't think it would for me.
No, it wouldn't for me. Not with commutes. And I mean, even now I barely take the iPad Air out of the house, and I even have a data connection for that. And I still use it mainly at the house. I think once, I mean, particularly with you right now, what you've been saying about the 5.5 iPhone Plus now, it's kind of replacing your iPad Mini.
I've got to say, I'm going to stick with this. Today was my last day to send it back, and I'm not going to send it back. I'm going to keep it. The reason,
it's amazing.
Well, the reason I'm going to keep it is the video. I mean, the 240 frames a second video is awesome, and when I get the raw file out, I can do shed loads with it. The camera's passable enough for me to do tweety pictures. It's not going to replace the 1020 as a little kind of quick on site camera for me, but I love the video on it, and I love the size of it, and I love getting back into iOS. And one of the things that I bought just before I gave up with iOS was the Sony CyberShot extendable lens thing. So there's a piece of software that allows you to connect to this via Bluetooth, and it sits on your camera, and you've got an external lens, which gives you far higher quality than what you currently got. I'm going to go back to having a play with that. I kept this camera purely for the purpose of using on a boom, because it had virtually no weight in it, and it wasn't a distorted lens, so I could swing it around and take stuff with it dead easy. So I will be keeping hold of that. And I'm going to keep it for that purpose. But I sat and tried to watch a movie on the way down to London on Tuesday, and I didn't enjoy watching it. I don't know if it was just kind of like it was because it was different than what I'm used to. But I went down to London twice this week, and the second day I went, I took my MacBook Air and I watched some stuff on the MacBook Air. And the other thing that really I hadn't kind of, you know, I've got, I take like TV series down off the net and watch them when I can catch up. And a lot of those are in MKV format, and I prefer MKV format. I like watching it, and it runs in VLC. So
true.
Oh, what I meant to say, have you tried using VLC as an audio stripper and converter?
Not as a converter, no.
Well, the problem we've got is if you've got a file that's over an hour and a half long and you want to take the audio off it, Logic and GarageBand won't let you because they can't make a big enough AAF file to then convert, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life anyway. I put it into VLC this week because I found the convert option there. I thought, I'll give it a go. And I changed it to an MP3, and it's lightning. It's fast as you like. Really? Oh, it's three times faster than GarageBand, four times faster than GarageBand. And the thing's fine. You can set the bit rate that you want, and it's beautiful. It's fine. It's what I've been posting on for the last 2 weeks. Absolutely wonderful. So
you just take that's what you're getting now from the audio from the videos for the shows. You're just...
Yeah, I make the video in full MOV, lossless compression, and then I put it into Handbrake, and I compress it massively, and it comes out really well. And then I take the compressed file, and I just strip the audio off it and post that as the MP3 for the shows. And if you go into VLC, into File, I think at the bottom of File, it's got Convert and Stream, and it lets you convert stuff. And you can make put in an MOV and turn it into an M4V. As well. So
is that your pick this week?
No, it's not. It doesn't do video very well. It's great for audio, but it doesn't do video very well. But now I've got another pick for this week.
iPad Pro.
iPad Pro is coming on the 21st, along with iPad 2.
So we're hearing, yeah.
And
yeah, the iPad 2, yeah, I think iPad Air 2, I think is, iPad I don't know if that's
sorry,
exactly
yeah,
what it's going to be called. But, it sounds a bit too long, doesn't it? iPad Air 2?
I think it's just going to... Well, they've done the Air thing now, so I think it's probably just going to become the iPad.
That's true. And there has been talk in the past they're trying to get away from the i. I mean, hence the Apple Watch. Apple Watch. So the iWatch.
The Apple Pad.
That's possible. Or the Apple... I could see the other one be called the Apple Pad Pro.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. That'd be interesting.
This is highly possible. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if it's the right, because we're seeing sales now with these things. They're not outrageous like they were. I think most people, I mean, I still know people that have an iPad 2 and they're still fine with it. And it runs iOS 8 too. And it's actually running it okay from what I've seen. So I don't feel, I know tablets are still popular, but the getting the newest and the latest doesn't seem to be for a lot of people right now. They're happy with what they have.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Happy with what you have is an interesting story as well, based on the next thing that we're going to do, which is talk about the returns of the iPhone 6 Plus. Just hang on 1 second, because Adam's here.
Adam, I'll be.
Adam, dial in on...
Any line's open except...
Line three.
This line.
Line three. Anyway, I wouldn't mind, but I moved the sodding show forward for him, and then he turns up 30 minutes late. Yeah.
Well, we actually might have a show now. Bless you, Adam. Bless you for showing up and actually giving us a Mac show this week.
It's Adam in the cupboard.
Sorry, mate.
It's all right. What happened? Did you get pissed last night or something?
No, I just overslept.
Oh, you sweetie. Never mind.
He had trouble. He didn't want to go back in the closet. Who could blame him?
He's already in the closet, mate. He's already in the closet.
Yeah, I didn't even put up the back soundproofing, so hopefully it's okay.
That's all right, mate. No one's worried.
No.
It's not like
as long as you get the hat looks good. The hat looks good, Adam. So don't worry about it.
Like pod-geneering hat. I got this at a podcast expo, actually.
You want to set up a podcast expo?
Podcast expo. Well, podcast new media expo, whatever it was called way back when.
Yeah.
Adam's obviously not awake yet.
Nope. Apple Pad Pro is a terrible name.
iPad Pro. Apple Pad Pro is awful, no.
How about this?
Yeah, Apple Pad Pro. Yeah, I was going to say that does sound
bad. That's equally bad. for your heaviest workflow days. Your heaviest flow days.
You know, I hate to bring those back because, you know, we sort of got past that because, you know, those rumors flew around when it was going to be iPad, right? You know, that it sounded like a feminine hygiene product, mm-hmm. but I don't know, maybe we've just gotten used to it. But to me, the minute you guys said Apple Pad Pro or, you know, Apple Pad was even worse. I don't know. It brought those right back for me.
Yeah.
I always thought it was going to be called the iTab or iTablet or something. I never really thought it'd be called a pad.
I thought it was going to be the Mac Palette.
The Mac Palette? And everyone's frozen just like last night. I'm not going to swear because I'm going to give myself bloody editing. But this happened 5 times last night. And I don't know why I'm talking because chat room can't hear me. And they're back.
Was that me?
Yeah, what happened? No. Is that Skype, that's Skype crap problem again?
That happened 5 times last night during the big show.
Uh-oh. Right, so now we got 4 to go.
I don't know if it's my provider or what, but when it comes back on, Skype tells me it's not online. And we lose the feed to the chat room as well, which would indicate that it's my service provider rather than...
Yeah, I was going to say I lost the live stream.
So it's not... I don't think it's Skype.
Everything, yeah.
I don't think it's Skype. I'm going to ring up... Okay. I'm going to ring it and bang some heads together. Right. So next story then, or first story really, is quite an interesting one. There's a report that iPhone 6 Plus reportedly accounts for 60% of the total iPhone device shipments that have come out. That's the 6 Plus. The 6 Plus is 60% of total iPhone sales.
Yeah, I think that's an early adopter thing. I think it's going to flop.
I don't know what returns are like though.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
You're not happy about. Did you finally give up on the Plus and go back to a 6?
No, I'm keeping it. I'm going to keep it for and stick with it.
I don't know. I think it's quite interesting. Apparently, at the moment, if you want to order an iPhone 6, orders remain at 7 to 10 days for the iPhone 6. But if you want a 6 Plus, it's still showing 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to fall in the same line as the Galaxy versus Galaxy Note. And I see a lot more people with Galaxy phones than I do with Galaxy Notes. I think tech geeks and early adopters, they are, you know, they want the larger thing. And especially with the iPhone, I think there's a big element of, you know, I want the iPhone that's the most different new iPhone out there. You know, the other one's a little bit different. I want the extreme sort of difference, and I want the extra bells and whistles, the longer battery life, those sorts of things. I think your average consumer is going to opt to save the money and just want something that's more like the iPhone that they already had. So
interesting. Yeah. And what's your
60%? 60% is a hell of a lot, though.
It's not 50. I mean, which is what you would have instantly thought, isn't it? I suppose so.
I would have thought the other way around.
Well, you know, you thought
maybe... I think in the long run it will be. I think it's going to be 60 iPhone 6 and 40 plus, maybe even 70-30 when it all, you know, 6 months from now.
I don't know. It's a definitely...
Now you watch. You're going to be out and about and you're going to see far more 6s than you're going to see 6 pluses. Guarantee you.
Yeah. No, I don't deny you're right.
I think that's based on price, though, don't you think? Maybe that we'll sell you more because of price?
Whatever the reason might be, I mean, that's the point, is I think we're seeing a higher number of 6 pluses right out of the gate because it's early adopter, geeky, nerdy folks like us. And I think when the real world starts buying iPhone 6 pluses, which is whenever their contracts start to come due, the numbers will flip around.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people were fed up of 4, 4S, so they bought 5 when it came out, expecting a lot from it, whereas I was the opposite. I thought, I've had enough of 4S. I actually want to have a different phone and try something different because I'm sick and tired of what Apple are serving up, which is why I went to a Windows phone, which I don't regret. I had a great year with it and I really enjoyed it. But I think the problem is that Apple, as a result of having a shit 4S, had a lot of 5 sales And now a lot of those five sales are probably keeping people from upgrading. And what you're saying there, Adam, I think may be right, because people won't go from five to a six plus, they'll go five to a six. And that's going to be next year when their contracts come to an end. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's enough bigger that they're going to go, this is nice. This is a bigger screen. But you know, it's not massive. I think that, you know, the six plus is, it's a specific type of user. You know, there's a specific reason you want that, that big of a screen, because you give up some conveniences of if the device being a phone. And I still do believe that I'm opting for this year to give up some of the conveniences I had with the smaller size for things like battery life, for user interface, for having a device I think that is going to, for me, function more as a replacement for my tablet when I don't want to take my tablet with me.
Mm.
You know, I don't buy that it's a full replacement like some people are saying, like this thing can fully replace a mini in every use case, an iPad mini in every use case, because I don't think it can. It can in a pinch, but you're still, there's still some compromises with the 6 Plus, you know, versus a mini if you're using it as a tablet.
Well, I was saying earlier on that I took the 6 Plus with me this week, and I didn't take my MacBook Air to watch anything on. And I had two trips to London, and I sat and watched a movie on this, and I hated watching a movie on it. And I don't know if that was just like, you know, I need to get used to the size of it, but I didn't enjoy watching it on the table.
Did you watch movies very often on your...
on my MacBook Air, yeah.
No, on your Windows phone.
No, never.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get any of the Apple ones on for a start, and the ones that I've got ripped, it was a pain in the ass getting them on iTunes, so...
Oh, okay. So it wasn't about this that device not being good for watching movies either. I don't think either. That was more about... It was a pain in the butt to
even... Well, no, I didn't want to watch movies on it either, because I had an iPad mini, which I enjoyed. I had an iPad Air, which I still enjoy, and I like carrying around with me on site. So I'm a camera bag. The device of choice is the iPad Air every time. But when I commute down to work in an office down in London, I always take the 11-inch MacBook Air with me. And that I like watching TV shows and movies on that on the train. Works really well. So I could get used to it, maybe, I think, but I think I'm probably... not going to bother watching movies on it on the way down in the future.
So. I've enjoyed watching movies on mine, although I haven't sat down like you're talking about and done it for a full session. I've just sort of, you know, just in testing, watched a bit here and there and thought this would work for me. Again, in a pinch, like I said, it's exactly the same thing. I still don't think it's a replacement for my Air. You know, watching movies on my iPad Air is a better experience than watching them on the 6 Plus. But the 6 Plus is a lot better than it was. You know, I never watched movies on my 5, and I couldn't even see myself doing it. With the 6 Plus, I could see, you know, if that was the device that I had with me, yeah, this is going to be, I can do this, and it's going to be an experience that I will enjoy and not be like, this is horrible because I can't see anything.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, I like my 6 Plus. I don't think I'm going to be too worried about keeping it around. I certainly don't have problems using it one-handed. I don't have problems using it as a phone. I actually quite enjoy it. I'm loving
it. Has it bent?
No.
Has it bent?
No. I held it up the other day and looked down the line of it, and I wanted to try and convince myself there was a slight curve, but I think I was talking bollocks.
Yeah,
the alcohol.
You start to see things, right? I've done the same thing, Ewan. Like,
yeah.
Is it? And then I put it on a flat surface, try and touch it on either side. Is it starting to bend? Start freaking out.
Don't talk shit.
Yeah, I have a friend though who sent me a photo of his bent iPhone 6. So, you know, it can happen, obviously. And when we asked him what happened, he said he was in the middle of his suitcase. He was traveling in the middle of the suitcase, and the suitcase fell over and just bent.
I don't want to ask.
For whatever reason. Exactly. So, you know, it was probably a freak thing. There was something that hit it at the right angle and the right pressure points. And, you know, we know the amount of force that it takes some significant force to actually bend it, but they will bend given enough pressure in the right points. I mean, and you know, as at least, you know, the, what's come out of this whole thing is we've seen, you know, Samsung doing tests, and we've seen people trying to bend other phones, and you know, we know that all these companies test for it, but there is a point for every phone where it will either bend or break given enough pressure in certain areas.
Yeah.
So, and it's more about, you know, how companies are going to handle that. And, you know, Apple did the right thing so far. We'll see if it becomes an epidemic, because they're not having a ton of this happening right now. You know, but they're saying they'll replace phones, and they have been replacing phones. Like he rang up Apple, went in, and they replaced it. So,
good on them. They don't want a Ben guy, if they can possibly help.
No,
they don't. Did you see the billboard that was curved as well? It was a naturally curved billboard, and it was curved exactly the right point, unfortunately. Russ in the Serenak in the chat room says, it's stuttery and buffering as usual, but for what it's worth, when you said, I don't know why I'm talking, no one can hear me. I could. And Russ says, I've ordered the 6 Plus a week ago, and I'm still waiting. So a week and a half ago, and he's still waiting. Well, you might be waiting a little bit longer yet, mate. An awful lot longer. What version of iOS are we on this week? Or today, rather?
Well, supposedly it's 8.0.2, but it still feels like 8.0.
I haven't updated because I'm still on the version that came with the phone.
So well, you're not missing anything.
So am I better? Should I hit the trigger on this and say go on update or not?
No, it doesn't feel like anything.
It's you'd be playing a little Russian roulette, I think.
No.
I think the majority of people haven't had an issue. I know, you know, I have not had an issue with it, losing my cellular. But some people supposedly have.
Okay.
Haven't most issues though been with the newer phones? Because I'm still on the 5 over here, and the update. I never went to the 0.1 update because I think they pulled it before I could even get a hold of it.
There was only 40,000 phones affected by that. So,
So the 0.2 though feels exactly the same to me as the 8. Still has the same. There's some laggy bugs I've noticed. Particularly with when you go into the from the swipe to home screen, I've noticed that. And Wi-Fi still dropping out, and that is irritating.
Yeah. What do you do for that? I've found that all I typically do is swipe up the control center, put it in airplane mode for a second, and then take it back out of airplane mode, and that usually
seems same thing.
Handle it.
Yep, same thing. Yeah, it does. Yeah, and for some reason, and particularly when you, because every time that I charge the phone, I usually just reboot it, just have a fresh reboot on the phone, and I've noticed that on that first reboot of the phone, that's when you have the most trouble with when connecting. Even Bluetooth, I've noticed, has been a bit buggy. Not as bad though as I think. I don't think it's been as bad. Maybe that's something that's improved a little bit in 0.2.
It's messed up. I noticed.
Still last same night. For you.
Yeah, I have an automatic in my car, and it's stopped connecting to that. I was watching it literally on the Bluetooth screen, and it would connect, and then a few seconds later it would disconnect, and then it would connect, and it would disconnect. And I've heard a lot of people having that sort of issue, especially with things like Bluetooth headsets or Bluetooth car connectivity, those sorts of things.
Well, just for the sheer comedic value, I've clicked update. So by the end of the show, we will know whether it's... I'm doing this for the listeners.
Yeah, you could lose your cellular and not have a phone.
Well, I can go to the 3 network shop in the morning and get that sorted if I need to. But I'm doing this for the listeners. And,
well, the only sorting it is to do a full restore.
Interestingly, as soon as I clicked install, I got a tweet from Steve Love, who said, just got my 6 Plus. Do I let it update to 8.02? Any thoughts to me? So I've tweeted back saying, ironically, I've just clicked update, so I'll be right back. So there you go.
By the end of the show, it doesn't seem to have fixed much, if anything. So, I'm kind of with Kyle. Like, you may want to wait for 8.1, which is supposedly around the corner.
I think probably next month, isn't it?
Shitty.
Or later this month. Later this month.
Yeah, the 20th. I think is when they're saying before the new event.
It's all right. I don't mind.
Because it's supposed to bring support for, some more sort of fixes for integration with Yosemite and iTunes 12, which, they're supposed to be
in
the 21st.
iCloud's still off, isn't it, for Yosemite as well? So you can't share a document on iCloud at the moment still.
because no connectivity still.
Yeah, yep. If you turned on iCloud Drive.
Bollocks.
Isn't that the dumbest thing, though? I mean, to me, that's one thing that they should have gotten right. If you're going to charge me $20 right now a month for cloud storage, make sure the freaking thing works on my Mac.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's even more insulting that it works on Windows, but on Mac.
Doesn't work on the Mac, yeah.
they released the iCloud Drive, software for Windows.
Mm. Yeah, because it's working there. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Don't you feel loved? I feel loved. Thanks, Apple.
This month, Apple has been messing up more than ever, I think. And it's not reassuring, I'll tell you that.
Are you saying even you are struggling to love them at the moment, Adam?
Well, they're just screwing up, and it's just like, I don't know. I mean, this happens. And granted, I think part of the issue, too, is something that I felt over the last few years was really a bad idea on Apple's part, but they seem to have gone down this road, is releasing every freaking thing all at once is just dumb.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's biting them in the butt. I don't think it's that they've changed things or, I think we probably have had issues like this with everything Apple launches. It's technology, right? But the problem is they do it all at once and then all the shit and the problems happen at once too. Like when it was spread out, they would deal with one thing at a time, sort of as it went, or maybe a few, one or two things. But now we've got, they do a launch and now it's a dozen things. All at the same time.
I blame Bono. I think it's Bono's fault.
Yeah, and it'll be Barney next month. So
it'll be Barney next month.
Apple have released activation lock status application.
This is so needed.
Think this is great. I think this is a real positive because when you buy a second-hand phone, you really do take your life in your hands. And also as well, with the number of iPhone 6s that were sold and in demand, and then were probably straight on eBay looking for the bulk price, which they didn't get as well. eBay prices were very, very reserved this time as opposed to a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
this is a positive, definitely.
Yeah, I think they need to go a step further, though. I think they need to have like an icon, or something on the device so that, because the average consumer is still not going to know, I got to go to a website before I buy this thing off eBay. I guess maybe if they do a good education campaign or, we can do our jobs sort of getting the word out. But, you need to know when you pick up the device, when you're meeting that guy at, from Craigslist at the coffee shop to do the exchange, should be able to look at it and know if it's activation locked or, if it's locked or not. Somehow, I don't know what that would be, but you know what I mean? Like it needs to be really transparent so that, I can activate this thing. Be better if like the seller had to do some sort of reset and then on the lock screen, it said, ready for activation or something.
Yeah. No,
give something in you. I agree with Adam on that. Give something that's just a, because that's what Apple's supposed to be about, is simplicity anyway. So make it in the utilities app or in the settings app where you can go in and literally hit a button just to see.
Yeah. I mean, there should be a button in, iTunes or whatever
can even do that.
That says, I want to sell this phone or, some sort of utility, even for people prepping their phones, because that's a bear of a process too. So it's like, you got to turn off Find My iPhone, right, to disable the activation lock. You also need to remove your stuff from iCloud. You need to, there's a lot of steps you need to sort of take to prep the phone. I've just gotten in the habit of, literally restoring it and then letting it go to the screen where it says, do you want to set this up as a new phone or restore from backup, and then just quitting, and then it's pretty much, back to factory settings. Nothing's tied into it. None of the software's on it, that sort of thing. But I don't think a lot of people know to do that or think to do that.
A curiosity of this, though, with this activation thing, and of course with jailbreaking and all that,
mm-hmm.
does that have any effect on it? Say you jailbreak the phone?
No,
I think the first one came out, right? And you could only use it. You could only use it at AT&T when it first came out in the U.S., but hell, the phone started even coming over here. I got one. You jailbroke it, you could open it up to any carrier then, so it really, you bypassed activation.
Well, there's two things there that you're talking about, though. There's the carrier lock, right? And then there's jailbreaking. So there was like sort of jailbreaking and unlocking, you know, was a second step. So, you know, jailbreaking will let you run, you know, whatever apps and software and
Cydia, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
And then unlock was sort of a bigger sort of hack that you had to do to get it off the carrier network. And I don't think that would have any effect on this. And as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, the process that I said, even just restoring it, I think for activation lock, you know, just like running the software restore, I don't think that removes the activation lock. Really, the step is you have to physically remove your phone from iCloud. Although this last time, you know what, I may even think I need to do it again. It's been a little while since I did restore. I think when I did a restore this last time, it came up with a pop-up and said, you know, before you do a restore, you have to remove this phone from iCloud. I think it wouldn't even let me go through this restore process, but I could be wrong. I remember that dialogue popping up for something I did. And I think that's, again,
I did the restore on the 5S.
Sure, people don't forget and, that step of
when iOS 8 came up.
And there we go again. Ah, fantastic. Can you hear me now, Saranac? Can you hear me now? Because everyone's frozen. Yet again. Hello, chaps.
Hey, how's it going?
It's fine. Fine.
The good point is 64 megabytes later and you still have a phone. Do you have cellular?
I do. I've got cellular connection and everything looks completely unchanged and fine and dandy. So no comedic value whatsoever, apart from the transparent icons for messages and phone.
Wait, you have transparent icons?
Well, they're green, aren't they, sir? Green screen.
Hardy hard.
Oh.
Yeah,
there we go. The Northern Bash.
It's a new iPhone 7.
The Northern Bash.
Was I the only one that just dropped out there?
No, everyone dropped out.
Okay.
Now, yeah.
The Northern Bash is coming 6th of December. It's a Saturday. If you'd like to come and have some fun with the gamer crew and myself and a few others, Chris Woods is definitely going as well from the Nonsense Show / Big Show and F1 Show. It's on Saturday the 6th of December. It's a bring your own booze party. It's not like the Southern Bash. It's a day of sitting playing games. The Gamer Show quiz will be done. Everyone there versus Cheese and we'll all lose. And we're going to play games till midnight. There's hotels and booking and guest houses and that kind of stuff in the local area. Don't be expecting there to be a hotel chain there or anything huge. There's a little guest house, which is 2.5 miles away, which I've booked one of the two rooms that are available. So stuff off the lot, yeah. And there's one that's 7 miles away, which has got distinctly more rooms. It's 4 miles away, which has got more rooms. So it's walkable. I'm going to plan on walking back to the hotel. It's at Tweedbank Hall in the Scottish Borders. And you can book yourself a ticket. The £5 charge is just to pay for the Tweedbank Hall higher, and then we're just going to sit and play games all day and have fun and chit chat and drink booze, and then we're going to dial out for a curry, and then we're going to have the Gamer Show quiz and do a bit more gaming and have loads of fun. There's loads of retro gaming there as well, so there'll be some modern stuff and there'll be some old consoles, SNES, Commodore 64. What's the 64-bit one? The N64 will be there. So it should be an absolute wonderful, wonderful day. I'm driving up in the morning as well from Birmingham. So if you want to drive with me, then get to my house for sort of 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'll drive us up the rest of the way to Scotland and then drive you back and drop you off on the Sunday afternoon. But it should be loads and loads of fun. Now then, all you got to do is go to britishnetwork.com. You'll see the banner in the top right corner, just like you do with the Summer Bash. Click Find Out More, and that'll take you to a page that's got details of where it's at, local hotels, that kind of stuff, and travel arrangements. And then on there, you can say Buy a Ticket, and it takes you to the normal Bash page, and you can buy your tickets like you do the Bash tickets normally for the summer. The other thing that you can buy at the same time, if you want to cut down your transaction charge, is you can buy a Bash ticket for next summer's Bash, because it's definitely, definitely, definitely July 4th, and it's definitely, definitely, definitely the same location, and it's definitely, definitely £25, the same as this year. So we haven't put the price.
And it's definitely, definitely your anniversary.
And it's my anniversary as well, yes. So all of you lightweights out there who are going, oh, I can't come, it's my anniversary, bollocks, I got you this year. You've got to come because it's actually my day. It's not like the nearest weekend. It is the day of my anniversary. I'm in deep shit. I'm a, who am I kidding? Oh, man. So, yeah, there we go. That's it. Pebble has issued a bit of a dig at Johnny Ive. Johnny, breathe. It's just a watch, they've said. And they've also put in their advertisement, our battery life is measured in days. Why? Because we can. Which is putting a real jibe at the Motorola one and that, which doesn't, allegedly. And they've got the new steel version as well. They've dropped their prices. It's only $99 for a standard Pebble watch, and it's only $199 if you want the steel version.
Not enough.
You don't think that's a big enough price drop?
No, they're desperate.
Really?
They're doing, yeah, they know it's over.
Really? They're doing health integration, aren't they? It'll do temperature and all that kind of stuff as well. Sleeping habits. It'll integrate with the health functions.
Yeah, but it's not color. I mean, that's what's really going to kill them with consumers. You know, it's going to look like the sort of, I don't want to, it's kind of harsh to say antique, but I mean, it's going to start to look like an antique. You know, it's going to, and they really pioneered the space. So there's a lot of credit that really needs to be given to them. You know, they sort of defined what a modern, quote unquote, smartwatch should be. But yeah, they're going to have to regroup, you know, if they want to compete and sort of come out with a Pebble 3 or whatever they want to call it.
I think. Pebble's kind of the Game Boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Game Boy, and then all of a sudden you got color, or you went up to a PSP. It's kind of like the
It's like the Super NES, you know, and then Xboxes just come into play, and they're in trouble.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I actually like them.
I really like my Pebble and enjoyed it, but I think, you know, it's starting to show signs of age.
Can you send it
and
to me?
And it's not
so
even that old.
Because the thing was, I got a very kind listener sent me a Pebble, the problem was I could never get it to work with my Windows phone, so I had nothing to try it with. So I sent it up, if you like, as a review to Wheaters, and Wheaters adores it. And I said to him, "Are you still using it?" Because I was like, "Kind of now I've got an iPhone 6, I wouldn't mind having it back and having to try, you know." No, I adore it. I absolutely adore it. Wife hates it, but I adore it. And I was like, okay. I was sitting thinking, well, for $99, I'll buy one and try it.
Yeah, I like mine. Yeah, it's
just to see if I do want one.
It's a nice device, but I guarantee you, when I have my an Apple Watch, I'll probably never wear it again.
So you're getting one, no question.
An Apple Watch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I sort of have to in a way, but that's really just
it's the way you justify it to your wife.
Absolutely. It's the lame justification of it.
No question.
I would have bought it regardless.
I don't know. $349, which is going to probably equate to about £300 to £320 over here. It's going to have to do something special. And that's for the bog standard one. You're talking £1,000 for the Milanese one or something like that. And then
but the only difference between those models is really materials, right? There's not going to be, I don't think there's technology-wise, they're all identical.
No, they're identical. So. And there's no way there's $1,000 worth of watching the Milanese one just because it's made out of stainless steel. Bollocks. Mm. You're talking out your arse, Apple. Don't even think about it.
People in that space pay for fashion. I mean, you're paying for.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the conversations about the watch market and whether these people are. I still don't see that the Hublot market and the Tag market are that bothered, and I still don't think that the Apple Watch is going to cut into that at all. And I still don't think people at the
It's funny you say that because I've had a couple people, and I have an audio comment for my next show actually from a guy who's a watch collector, and he's super excited, you know, and he wears those kinds of watches. And what's interesting is almost, I've only received 3 emails from those type of people, but I have gotten 3. And at least two of them are firmly in the camp that they think that Apple's going to do some sort of creative thing where there's an easy swap of the guts when you do an upgrade. And that sort of got me thinking, you know, because that chip that they designed is everything on one chip. And so they kind of feel like there's some sort of module or some sort of pod, you know, that's like the core of the watch that will literally be able to be easily swapped out in an Apple store. So when the next one comes, rather than buying another, you know, $10,000 watch, you're going to buy the you know, $400 new inside, and they'll just, you know, swap it out for you.
You really think that?
I don't think that. This is what the high-end watch people are saying. But it's an interesting theory, because it does sort of lend itself to that idea of, I'm going to spend a lot of money on this material, you know, this specific band, the gold thing, the style, and it does have the potential to turn it into sort of an heirloom. And again, I have to think outside of the tech space, because, you know, in my mind, it's like, well, you're going to get a new one every year, or, you know, it's going to get thinner or lighter, but, you know, people are proud in the watch space of having their grandfather's, you know, whatever watch that is old technology and, you know, an old casing and maybe a bigger size and not as sleek and modern as what we have now. So, it, you know, I don't know. It's a whole new sort of market and space that they're selling into, and there's probably different rules. So these are the guys that live in that space, you know, that nerd out on these watches, and they're the ones that have started suggesting this. I didn't even think of it and wouldn't even thought of it. So it's interesting that they're thinking that way, and they're still thinking, you know, this could be a thing that I'm willing to spend 10 grand on.
This was your grandfather's watch. It goes back to the days when you had to have your phone right with it to use it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I've upgraded it now, and it tells the time by itself.
Sounds crazy to guys like us, right? But I mean, I don't know.
Are they excited about it, though, like tech people are excited about it?
Yeah, I think these are crossover people, but it's interesting. You know, and it sort of says if they can sell that concept to those guys, maybe they can sell it deeper into that space. You know, if it's done right, if they give them something that appeals to them, like, yeah, you're going to spend 10 grand the first shot, but you're not going to have to do that every time. That sort of thing.
Got it. Now, this is Apple. They're going to have to do it every single time.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know at that price point. You know, I guarantee you, I think when it comes out, you know, we were talking 60% or, you know, 6 plus. I think you're going to see like 90% Apple Sport Watch and then, you know, 8% the Apple Watch and, you know, 2% or maybe even less, 1%
the 50% return,
the edition.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, they're going to sell very few Apple Watches and Apple Edition Watches, I think. You know, if what people are saying is right, and like the Apple Watch is, you know, 2 grand starting. I mean, that's a freaking, you're getting into, I could buy a Mac Pro. Do I buy a Mac Pro or an Apple Watch?
Oh, yeah, you buy a Mac Pro, no question. Apparently, you two are the only ones that have confirmed for today. Came a bit late in the month.
And I was even late.
podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. They're one of the people that support us really, really well from through the Patreon donations. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, then you can play a part in improving the service that we offer. So just like Network Union, you can give a donation through the Patreon subscriptions. We've got over 100 people now that give us money each month, and that's very kind. Thank you very much. If only we could get Patreon to give us the money, that would be superb. There was over a grand.
That's not good to hear.
No. But I think I'm giving the benefit of the doubt for another couple of days, because I think it might have been an admin issue. But no, patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. Patreon is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And if you value the service that we provide, because now we've got the news show on a daily basis, and that's a shitload of work, I promise you. We've got the Mac show, we've got the Big show, we've got the Drone show, which is coming up again soon. Help show is going to come back soon. We've got the Pocket show, the Gamer show, the House of Cards show. We've got tons, absolutely tons. And we're going to add to it. There's a new show starting in the new year that's going to be productivity based. Lee Garrett's doing that one for us. I can't say any more than that at the moment, but that'll be coming, and it should be really, really interesting, because I'm crap at productivity. I can't wait to watch it. But that's all come through Patreon. So please, 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 if you value the service that we offer you, and we give away free of charge, there's no obligation here, but just as a kind of thanks very much for your effort, everybody, chuck us a buck. Chuck us $5, chuck us $10, chuck us $25. Whatever you want to give us through Patreon would be very greatly received, and it would just show that you as well as the others who've taken the time to bother and been very kind, that you value the service that we provide. If you watch this show only and nothing else, give us a dollar. That means you value this show at 25 cents an episode. There's no limit. There's no upper. There's no lower. Just thank you very much. There we go. Network Union are great people. If you've got a WAN and you deal with MPLS or SIPs or any of that kind of stuff, then these are the people that you need to support you. You can get in touch with them through britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors page and give them your email address and they'll get back in touch with you and they'll help you out with all of that. If you're a BT customer for business broadband, even if you're small to medium enterprise, these guys can help you. You end up re-signing your contract within a different area of BT and then nothing changes in terms of billing or your direct contact with BT. What changes is the support structure that you get, and the support structure has the Network Union added to it, not supplanted, added to it. They are the best thing since sliced bread. So please, please, please give them a go. If you're in America, don't switch off, because these guys are licensed support people for Massagi, who are based out of Dallas. So if your system runs through Massagi, then get in touch with the Network Union and they can come and support you as well. As no difference. Right. If you're a decision maker in a business, then please have a look at the Network Union, get in touch with them, see what they can provide for you. Thank you very much. Just support our sponsors. If you're not and you're a consultant who works within a business who you support, where Network Union would help, then please either get the name of the decision maker and pass it on to Network Union, which is obviously fantastic if you can do that, and then they can do the sales pitch themselves, or just put the name forward to the decision maker and say, look, I think you should have a look at these guys because they're really, really good. They're good friends of a friend of mine. So that'd be me. And then see what they can do if they get in touch with them. And then just send a note to the Network Union. You don't have to say who it is. You don't have to say where you've put the name forward. You don't have to get past any of that gatekeeper stuff that the privacy would be compromised. But just tell our sponsors that you value them and that you've put their name forward. Lee Garrett, a couple of weeks ago on The Big Show, said that. He said, yep, I've done that. I've put their name forward. I'll write to them and tell them that I've put their name forward. That's all we want you to do. If you're a consultant, I know there's a lot of consultants who are in businesses at the moment giving support. Please, please, please put their name forward and please write to them and tell them that their advertising is having some effect with you at least, because they are very, very strong supporters in the network and we value them greatly. The other people we value greatly, UK2, of course, I wouldn't forget them. 5 years they've been looking after us. We've got unlimited storage space. Every show we've ever published is on the servers that they provide, and we have unlimited bandwidth, so we can have as many people down, as many shows as we want, and they will always be there and never fall over. We never get to our limit. You can get .uk's for $5.99. You can get .co.uk's for even less, and .com's for about $6.99, I think. And even the specialist stuff is a lot cheaper than you'll find it elsewhere. Doesn't matter where you live as well. We've got offer codes for BTN, which are on the sponsors page. You can use any of those no matter where you live in the world, and you will still get the discounts that everyone in the UK gets when they apply those offer codes. They'll charge you in sterling, but if your conversion rate works well, you can probably find yourself pretty competitive on price too. So check out UK2, and again, use the link on our page, sponsors, britishchatnetwork.com/sponsors, and go through to, even if you just want to log into your account and check on the status of your server or something like that, then go through our webpage just to show that you're a returning customer and you value the support that UK2 give us. We thank them very much, and Network Union for their sponsorship, because we'd be lost without them. Right, chaps. Starting with you, Kyle. Do you have a cool thing?
I do. I actually hated the hell out of this thing a year ago. Completely hated it.
Keep talking, because my doorbell's rung.
Okay. Anyways, I was telling you about how much I hate this thing. And then all of a sudden, I decided I'll retry it. Mailbox. And now I freaking love it. And now that it's come to the Mac, I like it even more.
Is that the mail client?
Yeah, the mail client. Yeah, Mailbox. You know, and I've got it on my iPad, iPhone, and now on the Mac. It's still. Are you having problems? Are you using it, Adam?
No, I use Apple Mail, and I'm perfectly happy. Okay. I know everybody hates it, but
I like it.
Okay.
I'm using Sparrow at the minute. Sorry about that. Okay, carry on.
Anyways, Mailbox, it's free. It's out. I like now that you can use it on the Mac, and that's actually what's kind of made me switch back to it. And it works great. It's actually a lifesaver, and it's free. So I hated it, though, a year ago. I could not stand the freaking thing. But I gave it another shot. So if you thought the same thing a year ago, try it again, especially if you're a Mac user, because it is really nice having it on the Mac now.
I tell you what also doesn't suck anymore. Podcast app. Greeny was right. Who knew Greeny would be right? The podcast app does not suck. It's brilliant. It works just fine.
That's what I use. Yeah.
The only thing that bothers me is from what I haven't used iOS for a very long time, but from what I remember, if you went to music and you wanted to play something and it showed you your albums that you've got in the cloud, if you touched them, it would download and play them on the fly. Is that right or not?
Wait, say that again?
So I've got an album here that's in the cloud.
Uh-huh.
And if I want to play it, if you touch it, it should just keep start playing it from the cloud.
Right.
But mine doesn't seem to want to.
Huh. And we're talking about podcasts?
No, we're talking about music.
Oh, music. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't seem to want to play anything.
Hmm. No, it should.
And now it's doing it.
I hear it, yeah.
Bastard thing. Friggin' iOS. No, I thought it downloaded it and then played it, but that seems to have played from the cloud, so that's what I'm talking
about. No, it does, yeah. It's kind of nice.
I'm talking about
the stuff. Speaking of cloud, has anybody noticed that iTunes Match has actually gotten better?
No.
Yep.
Yeah, he's back.
That's number four, right? Or did we lose everything?
Yeah, everything's gone.
Oh, okay.
Stream's gone, the lot. But sweet. I don't know whether Serenac came back and he said, before what it's worth, no one can hear me, but I could. But I don't know if anyone else did. So, Big Russ in the chat room says, BTN has got the news like swagger. Cool.
I like that. Cheers, Russ.
You've got the news like swagger. Come on, Adam, where are you?
He's not there.
It's his pick as well. Tell us about, you were saying, has anyone noticed?
Oh, has anybody noticed that iTunes Match has gotten better?
I haven't got iTunes Match, so what's gotten better?
As in knowing what the hell is on your library already, say you've ripped stuff from CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it would only know half the album, or you'd have missing tracks, and I've noticed it's gotten a lot better. I've seen now with tracks, some of my McCartney tracks before that I've owned on CD, it didn't recognize stuff like on some of the Wings things, and then now all of a sudden it's fine.
No great
loss. It did
loss
it on
there,
its
then.
Own.
No great loss there then.
Well, no. The Wings wasn't as fine as, but hey, still a fan. There you go.
Okay, fair enough. No, I deliberately haven't gone to iTunes Rack because a lot of my stuff is, I had a massive CD collection, which I've still got in boxes in the loft, but I didn't want to do the Match thing because it was kind of like, I can see this going, nap, sorry, none of these are kosher, bug off. And me actually getting virtually no Match whatsoever on it.
I actually didn't have a problem with, it ever saying that, no, I can't find, it would just do it, and then it would be like one track missing sometimes, or I even had a case where it was like, it would just skip over a song, it would start playing it for 30 seconds, and then it would go on to the next song, and it would do that. I could go back and try to play it again, and it would do the same thing. It's like it didn't get encoded right, or didn't get matched, or I don't know what the hell, but I've noticed a lot of that is, it still has its bugs, it still has its quirks, but it's $25 a year, so, and at least you kind of have somewhat of a backup of your library then.
I might give it a go, actually, because if you look in the studio here, down to my right, you can see a 6 terabyte drive there. That's now got all my movies on it, and it's got my my music on it as well.
One warning on music, there is a 25,000 song limit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
To match. I think that's only on stuff that they don't have in iTunes.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Whatever they can't match and what you have to upload to their servers, I believe that's correct.
Big Russ says he's using iTunes Match. Works very well for him, so he's very happy with it.
Yeah. So, I've had it since the very beginning, and I love it. But my library is not that huge.
Mine's not huge. But I've got 25,000.
I've had listeners who have 300,000, 400,000 song libraries, and it doesn't work for them.
They've been downloading.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No doubt. But the point is like
not even
they hit the limit because it doesn't match, you know, that large of a library, and they go over the 25,000.
Yeah. Fair enough. Adam, what have you got for us? Cool thing.
We don't have to. Do you guys remember what I picked last week? I'm worried I'm going to pick what I picked last week. And I was trying to look on the website.
Say the name and then I'll know.
Did I pick the Ollie last week? Did I have that yet?
The what?
The Sphero Ollie?
No.
No, okay. No.
Okay. So if people have listened to my show or listened to this show for a while, they would know that I'm like this huge nerd for like stuff I can connect to my iPhone. And you guys know Sphero, right? The little ball that you know, can control with your iPhone, which is awesome. I have the original Sphero. I didn't get the Sphero 2, and it's absolutely fun. What's really cool now that I have the pool is that thing, the Sphero, is waterproof. So you can actually drive it into the pool and sort of swim it around, which is just a blast. But they at CES last year, I think, announced sort of the next upgrade to their products. And so what they have now is this thing they call the Ollie, which is more of a tube shaped device with two wheels on the end of the tube, and it's all balanced and it screams. And so its focus is on doing tricks. It's a lot more ruggedized. You can swap out the wheels. As a matter of fact, it has like a drifting mode. So if you're into like racing and drifting, the thing will go 14 miles an hour.
Wow.
Top speed.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And he goes 30 meters away as well.
My Mac user group, and it was flying around. I mean, literally you try and do a turn and one side will start to lift up. It's going so fast, and you can get it bouncing, and it has just been a blast. I love this kind of stuff. So it's, you know, like this remote control, almost like a car, but you know, it's only got two wheels. So you can do spins and flips and take it off, you know, steps and jump it down. And I mean, it will really haul, and it has controls. So you can set it in different modes. So it has an indoor mode that'll limit the top speed and give you a little more handling, you know, and then when you're outside, you can go full throttle and just go crazy with the thing. And I think it's $99 US. So whatever. That
is. Yeah. I'm looking at it right. It looks like a Segway without the stick.
Yeah.
Without that's the vertical part.
Interesting as well. I saw a video the other week with the Sphero where some guys were throwing it up in the air and shooting it with a shotgun. And it came back and it had some marks on it, but it was still a working Sphero, and they hit it. They weren't glancing blows. There was some of the buckshot was clearly hitting it square on. And
I think they use a pretty strong material.
Oh, it was unbelievably strong. I couldn't get over it. Unbelievable. Yeah. At $99 for the Ollie. If you want the dark side Ollie, which is just a black version, $149. And the Sphero 2 is $129.
Yeah, and they're also, if you're into, you know, so do you guys have, I call it STEM and that sort of thing? That's a global thing, right? Science,
technology,
math, art, you know. They have some programs for that too. So there's some, like with the Sphero, I know that they have a program where you can bring it into the classroom and teach kids about programming. They have some special apps that you use the Sphero as sort of the thing that you program, and you can write little programs for it and things like that. So they're doing some cool stuff over there at Sphero.
Excellent. Yeah. Good pick, mate. We like that. It's not cheap, but it's good. That's good. I keep wanting to get one of those, but
it's
one
cheaper. Of those that, you know, it was the original Sphero, I think, was $129. I don't remember. I think you can still get the original Sphero, and they've dropped the price on that too. So, it's not a cheap toy, but
the Ollie looks more fun than the Sphero.
Although I hadn't had a Sphero 2, and I know they sort of amped up the Sphero 2 too, so it goes a little bit quicker than the original Sphero.
Up to 100 feet, it says, and it does 7 feet per second, the new Sphero 2, so sounds good. My cool thing, if you know about our Macworld coverage last year, I bought an iographer. And an iographer is a frame that goes with your iPad mini or your iPad Air. And you can put Coltube mounts on the top so that you can put lights and sound equipment and that kind of stuff. And I took ours to do the iPad mini to Gamer last year. And you can look at the Gamer Show stuff that we did last week, rather. And you can look at the Gamer Show stuff that's up at the moment. And the video's okay. It's not too bad. But I wanted a better video, so I wanted to use my iPad Air because that shoots 1080p. So I've bought the iographer for iPad Air. There we go. It's $65 and it's absolutely great. Love it to bits. And I will use that this year, upcoming at Macworld, for filming the floor show walks and that kind of stuff. You can get a 37mm mount, so a lot of Tiffin lenses and stuff like that will fit there. You can sit circular polarizers, you can put UV filters and that kind of thing. And it protects your iPad. And it means you can use it like a camera, and you can put camera accessories on the top. I've got a remote sound system which clips on here. I've got a light which put on as well. And I've got a GoPro which can sit here and record too. So that's brilliant. And then I got it, and I thought to myself, this has got another use. So here's my use. Look, I've set a camera up special for this. Wonder what it's like if I use it as a steering wheel. And... it's absolutely brilliant. So I've I downloaded Real Racing 3 to give it a go and see what it's like, which is a game I've slagged off in the past because it's not brilliant. But actually, to use this as a steering wheel, because you don't need any brake or accelerator on this, it means you can just accelerate and come across, and that's it. It's all done. So if I click race, here we go. It's taking its time. Do apologise about this. I should have prepared, really, shouldn't I?
Oh, we don't do that on this show. Don't worry.
You should try this with Asphalt 8 too.
I need to try Asphalt. Yeah,
it's written. Well, they redid it for Metal.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So here we go. I'm on the raceway. I'm ready to go. And of course, with this one, you just accelerate by leaning forwards, and that's it. So. And it's really smooth. The handles are great. And I was using it today to do my first race. And I thought it was absolutely excellent. I thought it was really intuitive. And it felt like I was actually steering the car because the program's actually really responsive.
That's brilliant.
There you go. And it keeps your hands off the screen, which is brilliant too. So it's excellent.
What would make that even more enjoyable when you airplay it to Apple TV? Because isn't Real Racing? I know Real Racing 2 was. Doesn't that have the dual screen so you can have it on your television?
Yes,
then
it does. That's right, Real Racing 2. And I bought Real Racing 2, so I could do that totally. Oh, that's it. I hadn't thought of that, dude. I'm right. We're finished. I'm going into the lounge. see you all next week. Thanks for listening. Bye. But there you go. The iographer's £65, and as a steering wheel as well as, you get 2 for 1 there. So that's not too bad. Yeah, I'm trying to buck this Ewan has shit picks kind of mantle that I keep getting.
Well, since you're going to keep the iPhone now, that rate should go down. I think it was all just about you having a Windows phone.
I haven't got anything to pick. I haven't bought anything that was of any value. So now I'm buying shit again. There we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Swagger?
Well, you can find me on the new show right here on the network, Monday through Friday. And, of course, you can also find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G, of course, and at KyleSwagger.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Adam, where are you, sir?
I'm over at MacCast.com and also the iOSShow.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. And you can find me online Twitter at MacCast.
Excellent, mate. Any sale on the house?
No, we've got a lot of people looking. It's only been a week, so there's actually folks coming over today, and we've got open houses and all that fun stuff. I've been dealing with selling stuff on Craigslist, which is interesting, to say the least.
If you're in San Diego?
Yep.
Yeah, if you're in San Diego and you want to buy Adam's house, then check him out at Matt Kess on Twitter, and he'll do you a deal.
Email mattkess@gmail.com. I'll give you a private showing.
Yeah, if you're a BTN customer, he'll drop the price on the house by $5,000. There you go.
You know, it's funny. You were doing the retro gaming thing, you know, with the Northern Bash.
Yeah,
I have a brand new, like practically brand new. I used it like twice. PlayStation, original PlayStation with two controllers.
Oh,
I threw that on Craigslist. $20. Nobody's.
Oh, send it over and give that as a donation, and we'll use it at the bash. Has he got any games? Someone loves some games.
I have Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Oh, that'll do.
And MLB 2001, I think.
Excellent.
Oh, and Naked Brothers Band.
What?
The Naked Brothers Band.
Is that like a gay thing?
Here's the reason I bought that, because I needed a microphone for Lego Rock Band.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, it was at Best Buy for like $5, and it had a $30 microphone, you know, a Logitech microphone inside the package. So it was, came all as one thing. So I'm like, why would I buy the thing for $30 when I can get this for $5 and get the same mic? So it was a deal.
Fair enough. Yeah. We'll be back again next week. We've got the what have we got next week? We got Pocket, I think, is on Monday, and then we've got the Help Show is we're going to go for one of those next week as well, as because I'm at home on Wednesday now, and then Mac and Big as normal, same time.
Can I just say a thing on the Patreon for folks? This is a motivator. Ewan has apparently committed. Guaranteed when you get to a certain level that they guarantee they will have shows.
Yeah.
So if you want to force him to have to do work,
become a Patreon supporter. $2,000, I think, wasn't it? $2,000 a month, we will guarantee to push out all the shows that we have if we get to $2,000 a month. I think it was $2,000.
Make him work, folks.
Yeah.
Donate.
Yeah. My
Patreon.
Bosses.
I guess it's not donate. I don't know what they call it. Patreon.
Patrons. That's it, yeah. I got to say, Patreon are really good because they only take, they haven't paid us, but that's a different story. But they only take 10%. And actually, I heard a thing from Tom Merritt that Jack Conti was approached by some venture capitalist people and said, right, you know, you should be taking 30%, not 10%. And he said, nope, I want 10% because I want it to go to the people that are doing the art. And good on him. Well done.
I don't think people would do it at 30%. That's crazy.
Yeah, no. I think I wouldn't want to do it because I wouldn't want to give that much away. But good on Jack. I listen to Jack Conti a lot. I learned him through Pamplemousse, who I've followed for years on YouTube. And he seemed like a real stand-up guy from everything I've heard. So good on him. We'll be back again next week. As normal. Take care and enjoy your iPhone 6 Plus. Don't send it back.